Lots of entries have been chosen.
We're in the thick of it now.
We are indeed. There's lots to talk about on this edition of...
Nullpois!
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for jurors.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Welcome to Nullpois. This is a UK-based Eurovision fan podcast, but by no means do we know everything there is to know about the Eurovision Song Contest. Laura and I, Martin, we are investigating this, we are discovering this as we go along, and hopefully you're along for the ride as well. So much to talk about this episode. It's going to be a very kind of right down to business sort of episode. Because
none of this chat that we normally do, well, that'll probably sneak in, won't it? It always does. But yes, I am Laura, that is Martin. And yes, we are in the thick of it now. We've had loads of new entries confirmed and songs for Eurovision 2022. So let's get into it, shall we? Now, the first one we're going to go into, we missed from our last episode, which if you do want to listen back to, we really enjoyed doing. It was all about Mika we did, so we did miss some of the entries. So we're going to talk about Ireland, first of all, because they've confirmed their entry. And this is Brooke, who won for Eurovision 2022 with her song, That's Rich.
Kind of a driving bass line there. That's Rich. I still haven't quite worked out whether they're talking about a guy called Rich who's like standing nearby.
I can tell you that now, they're not.
Who's that guy over there? That's Rich.
That's Rich.
Or are they saying, that's Rich coming from you? Or
well, that's a bit Rich.
That's a bit Rich,
for
mate.
My blood.
Or they're sampling a sticky toffee pudding. Ooh, that's a bit Rich, isn't it? It's a bit Rich.
No, it's definitely the second one, Martin. Now, thoughts on this? Ireland haven't been doing that great recently. I saw a meme recently of an old woman being helped up some steps by a younger woman, and the older woman was saying, was being Ireland in Eurovision, saying, I won Eurovision 7 times, and the young lady was going, sure you have, grandma, time to get you into bed. I was like, poor Ireland.
Yeah.
But that it's a bit like that recently. Ireland haven't, I mean that is Rich coming from the UK, you could say, but of course at least the UK, because they're in the big five, they get into the final. Some would say it's a bit unfair that that happens, but that is what happens. So I would love to see Ireland in the final this year. Will they make it in there with this song? I don't know. I think it's catchy, but I don't think it's anything special. And which seems to be happening with Ireland, it might get a bit lost. It really depends. We know what semi-final it is in as well, but I just don't know yet. We don't know all the confirmed entries in the semi-final. So I'm not sure about this one. What do you think?
I think there's a danger here of this not quite appealing to the right people. And the reason I mention that is you could accuse Ireland here of cozying up to the Brits when it comes to selecting their entry, because Brooke Scullion is her full name. She was a finalist in last year's The Voice UK. In fact, sorry, 2 years ago, 2020 series of The Voice UK. She's been earmarked by the BBC Introducing, which is this sort of the BBC's finding new artists. So she's somebody to watch on the British pop scene. And the UK hasn't been doing brilliantly either. And maybe this is something that would go down very, very well in the British Isles, but maybe not so much in the rest of Europe. I don't know. I don't mind it.
That's a plan. I don't think that's a strategy of theirs to cozy up to the UK.
No.
I mean, I think the UK would vote for Ireland anyway.
I'm not saying it's a deliberate thing. I'm just saying they might have sort of unwittingly done it.
I just think I think what they've done is they've just entered a sort of generic pop song, really, and it's okay. I just don't know how well it's going to do amongst everything else. With if there's things with a bit extra bells and whistles, then I don't know if it's going to stand out.
Let's move on and let's talk about Israel next.
Yes.
And it's the X Factor Israel that they use to choose who they want to represent them in the contest. They've been doing that for a little while now. So who was the winner of the X Factor? Who's got the X Factor? Well, it's Michael Ben David, and this is their entry. It's called I Am.
Now, I love Michael Ben David's moves. I think he's got the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent to go all the way. I think in that respect, he commands the stage. You know, the beginning of that song, he just looks fantastic. I think it's great. With the song itself, I don't think is that great. It's a bit. There isn't much to it really, but he really, you know, takes control of it, I think. So I love him. I'm just not sure about whether the song really has got much to it and is that catchy, but he really makes it a lot better than it is. What do you think?
There's something very Freddie Mercury about him. I don't know whether
he looks
a bit like Freddie Mercury with the moustache and the hair. I don't know whether it's to do with the moves, very kind of flamboyant, you might even say camp moves.
I would say camp for sure. Yeah, definitely. That's kind of what I love about him.
I'm surprised, actually, that this is what Israel is sending to the competition. I think I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's something very different, but it's different in its flamboyancy, not necessarily in its musicality.
True, that's true.
Would maybe be my criticism of it. It certainly makes you sit up and take notice with the performance. It's very eye-catching. Mm. It stands out from the crowd to look at, but maybe not to listen to.
Yes, and that's completely my thoughts. I wouldn't be able to sing that song to you right now after listening to it. You know, a little bit of it, but it's all about him, really. But I think that will probably put him in good stead to get through. I think when we're talking about with Ireland, you know, just being a bit more memorable on stage and stuff, I think this guy has it. I think Michael Ben David has it. So and that's all you really need, at least at this stage.
We're going through the eyes like there's no tomorrow. So Ireland, Israel, and now Italy.
Yeah.
Told you that there were loads of releases that we needed to catch up on. Of course, Italy, the host, going to be very, very difficult for them. Very unusual for a host to win. It's happened before, of course, but it is quite unusual. But Italy have decided to send Mahmood and Blanco.
Yes.
They've won the festival.
So Mahmood is back. He's back again to represent Italy.
I was going to ask you this because it's been Mahmood in the past, and I was going to ask, was it going to be Mahmood again? It is. That's interesting.
Yep. And Blanco this time round.
Yeah, Mahmood and Blanco. They're the dream team. They've won Festival di San Marino to represent Italy in Turin with this song. It's called Brividi. Something way more thoughtful and touching and slow.
Yes.
From Italy this year. It's, again, I would say different. It is
very
a
different
sound, a different feel.
Yeah.
As often is the case with these slower songs, I sometimes wonder whether they're going to cut through when people want to kind of have a good time, but I've been proved wrong many, many times on that one. I mean, just look at Portugal and the winner there. So this could again do really well. It seems really tender and really emotional, and sometimes that can go down so well with a Eurovision audience.
Yeah, very different to Mahmood's Soldi, obviously, when he competed last time. He finished third for that, so you know he's got form and doing pretty well for Isley Mahmood. I really like this song. I think, it, like you said, it's very touching. It's quite different. It's beautiful, really. A lovely song. Some of the lyrics, are when you translate them to England, are a little odd, I will say that. But very, very beautiful that it's sung in Italian. And obviously, both of the singers are, you know, exceptional, really great singers. And I think it'll be quite a nice moment to watch this play out on stage, really. I'll be interested to see if they keep it quite pared back and minimalist or what they do with it. But, you know, interesting to have two kind of main singers as well. You know, that doesn't often happen. It's normally, you know, a band and a main singer or just one singer. So to have two of them on stage interacting with each other, I really like this. Obviously, Italy go through to the final because they won last year. And obviously, they're in the big five anyway. There's no big six this year. It's just going to be big five because Italy won and are in the big five. But I would say this would easily go through anyway because, you know, it's a recognisable person in Mahmood. He's already got a really strong fan base. But the song itself is just really, really lovely, really beautiful. So, yeah, I think this could do very well.
It kind of reminds me of something we were talking about with Yaya last week.
Yeah.
When we were talking about Mika, and the reason why she loved Mika was about resonating with the lyrics. And I think a lot of people will do this as well, will resonate with the story and the message behind the song, because it's about coming to terms with sexuality and, you know, exploring yourself and understanding who you are. And I think there'll be a lot of people who, for them, this song really speaks to, which will definitely stand it in good stead. Okay, now there's not been a lot going on in Ukraine recently, and so nobody's really been that interested in the country.
Right.
Of course, I am talking about a country now where the eyes of the world are on, for rather unfortunate reasons. Well, and as we record,
bit of an understatement.
As we record this podcast. In fact, funnily enough, because as we record this podcast, you know, there has not been an invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but
on the precipice, isn't it? Yeah,
it's looking very, very bad. However, I was listening to some analysis on the situation the other day about how Ukrainians are feeling about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they said, well, on TV last night, more people were kind of talking about, and the national conversation was about who is representing Ukraine at the Eurovision Song Contest than it was about an impending invasion from the Russians. Now, I don't know what that says about A, the entry, or B, the mindset of the Ukrainian people.
They but love Eurovision.
Well, they do, yeah. And I suppose this is a great distraction, you could say, you know, just trying to make light of a very, very serious situation. But,
yes.
But let's talk about who is going to be representing Ukraine. Alina Pash is doing this, and I'll try and describe Alina to you in just a moment. But first, here is the song. It translates as Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors.
This is, I think, a kind of, I would say, sort of typical Ukrainian number. It does remind me a little bit of Jamala, who obviously did win for Ukraine in 2016. A bit of a slower number compared to, well, certainly compared to Go Ah, who with Shum last year, which was fantastic, but a lot quicker. I think this really is going to depend on the staging and how they want to stage this, because it is a slower number. I think she's got a lovely voice, a very strong voice, and I'm imagining there's going to be quite a lot of, considering the song title, Shadows of Forgotten Ancestors, I'm imagining there's got to be a lot of, like, you know, recalling of emotion and that kind of thing, which put Jamala in good stead in her song. I don't think it's particularly memorable, but I don't know if that matters so much if they get the staging right and if she, you know, really goes for it. Your thoughts, Martin?
I'm afraid to say that this is the song where I'd probably go up and get a cup of tea.
Same.
It's the sort of, I suppose the Eurovision background music. It's the stuff that it all kind of vaguely sounds a little bit like this at some point. There's always some song that kind of sounds a bit like this and it doesn't really stand out. I kind of don't really even think about it at all. I'd probably start talking to other people during it, which is a shame. Yes. Funny that you mentioned Damala, by the way, Ukraine's previous winner. She was actually on the jury that she helped decide this song. I mentioned that I would just describe Alina Pash. How would you describe her appearance? Because something a little different there. She looks to be wearing at least an homage maybe to traditional Ukrainian dress, which maybe touches a little bit on the theme of the song there. So ticking a lot of boxes in Eurovision bingo, somebody wearing traditional dress, somebody doing a kind of slow warbling song about their homeland. This is great for drinking games.
Yes, it is. Yeah. What I do wonder is, because of the situation at the moment, will the Ukraine simply get through, you know, on the song performance? But I do wonder if there'll be a few people thinking, oh, Ukraine, you know, like, bit concerned about what's going on at the moment. I'm going to give them a vote. I don't think it's going to be based just on that, but I do wonder if there'll be a couple of little points chucked in because of what's going on there. Who knows? I don't know how people would vote, but possibly.
Oh, I would say without doubt, because although we have many times had discussions on this podcast where we try to sort of say very loudly that Eurovision isn't all political voting.
Yeah.
Some people vote on things other than the song that they're listening to.
Yeah, of course.
That's just what people do, isn't it? And you can imagine that the situation that Ukraine finds itself in will generate some sympathy for the Ukrainian entry. I think that is absolutely fair to say. I think it's probably, I would even go as far as to say, a contributing factor to their previous win in 2016. Yeah. So what does that mean for this one? Well, I still don't think it will come anywhere near winning.
No, I don't
frankly.
Think it will either. No.
It's just a little bit boring, really. Yeah. But I think definitely an interesting one to look at, probably more because of the political situation than anything else, rather unfortunately.
Right, well, let's pick up the pace a little bit and move on to Estonia now, where we've got another song to listen to. And this is Stefan, who's going to be travelling to Turin for Estonia with the song Hope.
They promised he would never lose our pride. Every day they try to turn that into lies. Standing tall, looking out for fun, if we'll be proud, and I'm happy to be walking my own ground. I said, hey.
A kind of Wild West theme there from Stefan with Hope. In fact, there's even a little, at one point in the song, there's a little doo-loo-loo from the good, the bad and the ugly. So they're pulling no punches when they're trying to say, yeah, we're for the cowboys, guys. Yeah, we like the cowboys.
Hey, Stefan like and cowboys. Hope.
I wonder about that. It's certainly got that driving beat behind it once it gets going.
Once it gets going,
He performs it very, very well to Stefan. The staging at the moment, from what we've seen, is just him on a stage on his own. You wonder maybe that it needs a little bit more, a little bit of movement maybe.
Yeah. Which could come.
It could come. I'm not quite sure the song has enough to carry it just with him on its own at present, but maybe if they do something with the staging, it could just lift it a little bit more. Not terrible. But then again, nothing that stands out, I would say, too much. But I will sort of caveat that with, sometimes it does take a little while for the song to grow on me, certainly. And when I first see songs, I'm like, nah, not so sure about that.
Yeah, but then they grow a
few weeks later, I'm like, yeah, this is great. Yeehaw, Stefan!
I agree. I totally agree. I don't think it does have that reach. It feels a bit kind of, it's not quite tapping into sort of the modern style of songs that some of the other entries are. So it will be interesting to see, where they go with it. But at the present, not too sure about that one.
Let's talk about Lithuania. They have decided that Monica Lou, who looks like Betty Boo, and she'll have to do, because she's got a song called Sentimentai.
Yep.
And this is what it sounds like. Oops, look what you made me do.
Yeah.
She's trying to be Billie Eilish, but she looks like Betty Boo.
Yeah, she is a bit, isn't she? Yeah, that's a fair comparison. It does feel a bit Billie Eilish. Yeah, now this is kind of feels very typical of modern Lithuania in the contest. A bit quirky, a bit unusual. They did that with The Roop, didn't they? Quite successfully. An interesting song again. It's quite eccentric, quite unusual for Lithuania. Again, I don't know if I'm really into it, to be honest. I don't really quite get it for me. What do you think?
I don't think I'm as negative about it as you are. I thought it was different enough to make me go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has that, and she's got quite an interesting style. You know, I think she's quite memorable, for sure. I just don't know, I don't just think the song is quite there, but I could be wrong.
It's touch and go, this one. Mm. I think this could be one that I really start to dislike, or it could be one that really grows on me and I can't stop thinking about and is brilliant. I think the likeness to Billie Eilish, I'm all for trying to emulate a style.
Mm.
I think this comes quite close to sounding exactly like a song she's already got.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a danger and did happen last year at some point with another act who tried to kind of emulate someone else in the charts. And it didn't work very well because everyone's just like, well, that's just a cheap knockoff of,
yeah,
you know, whoever it is that's at number one in the world at the moment. So there's an element and a danger of that potentially happening, or this could really cut through, which is me massively on the fence, I think. But that, I think, maybe is because I'm not quite sure what I think about the song yet.
I agree. Yeah, I'm totally with you there. So again, it's just we're gonna have to see really where this is, you know, who it's up against. Obviously, we know now which acts are in which semi-final, but we don't know or every song that every song is up against. So yeah, we'll just have to see with this one. What I will say is our final one that we get to talk about is Latvia. And now we've and I think this is definitely going to cut through. This is a song we've already mentioned. It is City Zeni and their viral hit Eat Your Salad, which we have talked about on a previous episode because of just some of the lyrics that this song has. Now, we really enjoyed this song before. Let's have a little reminder of what it's all about. Here it is, City Zeni, Eat Your Salad.
Instead of meat, I eat veggies and I like them both fresh, like them both juicy. I ride my bicycle to work instead of a car. All of my groceries are divided by weight and stored in glass jars. Got my reusable bag, that's swag.
Oh, I love this so much. I love it. Love it.
Wait, if you look at like what Italy is sending, and then you've got this, it's fantastic. This is what Eurovision needs, though. It needs stuff like this. It's catchy. Now, one thing to note, we were laughing last time. Not laughing, but we were thinking, what are they going to do with this song? Because obviously the first line is supposed to be him saying, instead of meat, I eat veggies and pussy. And we were like, could they really say that for Eurovision? It looks like they aren't going to. What they're going to do, we've just seen a bit of the staging as they sing this. They've flashed the word pussy up on the screen, but they don't say
it. With a picture of a cat.
With a picture of a cat, as if he's eating a cat. That's not what he's talking about, obviously. But
is it,
so that's how they're going to get around
it. What's he talking about then? What's he talking about?
Anyway, so City... You know very well what he's talking about, Martin.
No.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, they've got the star, they've got the colourful suits, you know, they just look great. And I'm really, you know, they remind me a bit of the Sunstroke project from Moldova. They've got that kind of style about them. They've got the brightly coloured suits, they're dancing with their instruments and just having a great time and just singing a song about how being vegan is sexy, basically. This is what Eurovision needs. We need a talking point and we need an unusual song, and this has got it in spades. I love it.
I love it as well. Can't wait to hear it again.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it on the Eurovision
stage.
See
people's reaction to it who don't know what they've got in store for them.
Wait to tell people about
it.
I can't wait. Because I know it'll get round to May, right? Yeah. And the people who only really are interested in Eurovision for that, like, vaguely 1 week in May, which is most people, will come to me because they know that I'm a bit of a nerd about it. And they'll go, all right, Martin, so what should I, you know, what ones should I be listening to? And I'll go, well, definitely Latvia.
Definitely Latvia. Yeah, totally. Oh, I love it. It's great. I can't wait to see this be. There's no way this isn't getting to the final. For sure.
Okay, well, we've whooshed through a load of new entries, and no doubt by the time that we eventually get to publishing this podcast, there'll be probably a load more. So we've apologies, you know, we're always a little bit behind because that's the nature of podcasting, because it's not happening live. But we will, of course, keep you up to date with other entries as and when they happen on future editions of Nul Poi. Thank you so much for, well, A, listening, but also for getting in touch and telling us what you think. We had such a great reaction to our episode last time, which kind of was all about Mika. We really loved putting it together, actually. We had really, really good fun talking to our guest and chatting about Mika and everything like that. And thank you so much, because we really did. We got loads of messages and we got a great, great response to it. So thank you for that.
Yes, indeed. And if you do want to get in touch with us, here are the ways you can do that. So thank you very much, as Martin said, to the reaction to our Mika episode. You can listen back to that, obviously, on Spotify, on iTunes, and all the good podcast platforms. Thank you to Yolanda, who got in touch on Twitter, saying about the podcast, this is exciting, 12 points for reaching out to the MFC. Now, I'm guessing that's the Mika fan club. The MFC. It makes it sound quite...
quite menacing.
Yes, the MFC. It's kind of like the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, I like that. So thank you. Yeah, we enjoyed reaching out to the MFC, and I'm glad you enjoyed it, MFC. If you do want to get in touch with us on Twitter, we are @Poinul. We're also on Instagram, Nul Poi Podcast on that. And if you want to send us an email as well, we love to hear your emails. We want to hear your thoughts on all these new songs that have come out, especially Eat Your Salad. Thoughts on all of those, please let us know. It is nulpoipodcast@gmail.com. Which of those songs that you heard today do you think are going to make it through, and which you think are going to be voted out? Do let us know your thoughts.
Woof. Long on podcast today, but there's been a lot to get through. Right, I'm off to go and buy a carpet. So I'll speak to you next week. And we will talk to you next week on the next edition of
Nul Poi.